So please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 1 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. We record my sermon. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we leave is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name and give you thanks for all the things you have been doing in our lives. And you brought us to Christ. It is not our will. It is even not our decision. And it is your grace that you drew us to Christ. And by your grace, we are saved. And it is also your grace that we can meet in the church, and also we can meet online. Lord, as we read this passage this morning, I pray that you open our minds, our hearts, and to receive your word. And let your word take root in our hearts. And let your word bear fruit in our lives. And please enable us to be obedient to your will. Enable us to have a desire to please you with whatever we do and we speak. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. From August 11th, 2019, we start preach the Book of Acts at IBC. And the last sermon was preached on December 15th, 2019. So I hope all of you have a fresh memory of the Book of Acts, especially about Paul's ministry, his missionary journeys. So from the Acts chapter 18, we learn that Paul visited Corinth for the first time roughly about AD 51. So he spent about 18 months there and then left Corinth for Ephesus. Later, he returned to Ephesus and spent 3 years there. And he wrote 1 Corinthians in his second year in Ephesus. During his last year in Ephesus, he visited Corinth church. He called this a painful visit in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul also expressed his desire to visit the Corinthian church a third time. And it is not clear from where Paul wrote this letter, so the 2 Corinthians. It is usually dated after Paul left Ephesus for Macedonia. So according to Easton's Bible Dictionary, 2 Corinthians shows the individuality of the Apostle Paul more than any other books. So this letter contains human weakness, spiritual strength, the deepest tenderness of affection, wounded feeling, sternness, irony, rebuke, impassioned self-vindication, humility, a just self-respect, zeal for the welfare of the weak and suffering, as well as for the progress of the Church of Christ and for the spiritual advancement of its members, all are displayed in turn in the course of his appeal. We all know that Paul received the ministry of gospel from Jesus, and he was made to be a minister of a new covenant, a better covenant. As apostle, Paul's life was difficult and full of dangers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talked about his sufferings for the sake of Christ and for the sake of gospel. He said, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, that's one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was drifted at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. So, we may raise the following questions. What is the reason of Paul's endurance in afflictions, and persecutions? And what is the secret of his perseverance in tribulations and even confusions? In chapter 4, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "Since we receive this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart." He gave at least 3 reasons to explain why he does not lose heart while carrying out the ministry from God. In chapter 5, we just read, verse 6 says, "We are therefore always confident." So it is a learning curve. It is a progressive advancement. It is a progressive argument. We must first learn not to lose heart. Then we can become confident and even be always confident. So if we want to understand what Paul is talking about in chapter 5, we must read at least the chapter 4, as the passage we just read is a progressive argument from there. So Paul said, we believe and so we speak, so we do not lose heart. In spite of difficulties and troubles, in spite of persecutions and confusions, Paul chose to proclaim the gospel through speaking and writing. He gave at least three reasons for not losing heart. The first reason is what he proclaimed is not himself, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with himself as a humble servant for Jesus' sake. He has this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, Paul has a divine light of gospel in him. He believes that the gospel itself has the dynamic power and has a supernatural power to bring people to God and to reconcile the world to God. The second reason is that he believes through his weaknesses and sufferings, the resurrection power and the life of Christ may manifest itself in such a way that it will bring spiritual life to Corinthians. This is what he says, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The third reason is that he knows that God who raised the Lord Jesus will raise him also with Jesus. In other words, Paul was sure of ultimate victory, the final victory, because Jesus had conquered the death. Paul was convinced that there will be a future bodily resurrection for himself and for all believers. It is such a great hope, such a glorious hope that sustains him in present trials without losing heart. Paul said, we do not lose heart. Instead of losing heart, Paul pointed to another fact, what is really taking place in believers' life. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In verse 16, chapter 4, he said, what we are going through at the moment is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So now let's focus on the passage of chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. So please look at verse 1 again. Paul wrote, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. For we know the knowledge here is distinguished from the knowledge obtained by experience. It does not spring from human intellect. It's not an intuitive insight, but arises from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It suggests fullness of knowledge, absolute knowledge, knowledge without a doubt. While many people in the 21st century believe that death is the end of everything, and everything will end with death, we are taught that the children of God will be in a much better state after death. The body we have now is called the earthly tent or house of tabernacle. It is constructed for a temporary purpose. One day it will be torn down and destroyed. We will obtain our future glorious body, which is an eternal house in heaven. Verse 2 and verse 3. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says, the whole creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, that is by God. Therefore, the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. The fact is, not only the whole creation, but we ourselves, though as children of God, who have the first fruit of Spirit, who are called a new creation, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship. Verse 4. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. So the hope of the creation is that one day it will be liberated from its bondage to decay and death. Our hope is the ultimate redemption of our bodies, because in this hope, we were saved. And that is why we wait for patience. Someone says, the Christian is the most contented man in the world, but he is the least contented with the world. So I say it again. But the Christian is the most contented man in the world, but he is the least contented man with the world. So he's like a traveler in a hotel. He's perfectly satisfied with the hotel, its accommodation, its everything, it's fine. Considering it as a hotel, but he completely ignores the idea of making it his home. Verse 5. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God is working on every one of us. So let me illustrate this with a short story. A man who was in the midst of many painful trials took a walk in his neighborhood and saw a construction team working on a large church. He stood and watched. He watched a stone craftsman worked on a block for a long time, but could not see where the block would fit because the church seemed to be finished. The craftsman carefully and worked on the block, slowly shaping it into a precise pattern, a precise shape. Finally, the man asked, "Why do you spend so much time cutting and shaping this block?" the craftsman pointed to the top of the almost completed tower and said, I'm shaping it down here so that it will fit up there. The man in the middle of his trials knew immediately that this is God's message for him. He was prepared down here on earth so that he would fit in up there in heaven one day. From this verse, we can be sure that God is preparing us for heaven, because God gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a deposit to prove and guarantee that our salvation will be complete in glory. No matter whether you have been a believer for 40 years or only 4 days, please remember that God is not finished with you. The indwelling Holy Spirit in believers shows God's commitment to complete what he has begun in us. Verse 6 and 7. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. Or we walk by faith, not by sight. Someone says that there are only two addresses for every New Testament believer. We are either at home in the body and not in personal presence of the Lord, or we are absent from the body and present with the Lord. There is no in between. There is no purgatory, and there is no waiting place. Believers are either away from the Lord or present with the Lord, not yet with the resurrection body. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So we do not walk by focusing on natural and physical circumstances, but by focusing on supernatural power of the word of God, which is a sure promise of future glory with Christ our Lord. In context, we recall Paul explained how he could be courageous and confident in his physical, mortal, decaying body. The answer is that he is not walking by what he sees and by what is happening to his mortal body, but by trusting in all the promises of God and by believing what is come to pass. So here Paul believes the promise of God that our mortal bodies will be swallowed up by life, which is the future glorious body. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. In contrast to the ambition of this world, our ambition must focus not on self, but on our Savior. And our goal is to please him. And whatever we do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad. Paul said, also in 1 Corinthians, he said, "He laid a foundation, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." So let me read this verse again. "One day we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad." Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks and for the Bible, for the truth written in the Bible. And you want us to understand your word. And you also want us to apply your word to our lives, and especially our daily walk. Lord, I just pray you help each of us, and you know our weakness, and you know our failures, and you know also our ambitions. Lord, I just pray that you teach us how to walk by faith, not by sight, and how to be confident like Paul, how to not lose in heart, but be confident, and even always confident. Lord, please teach us and enable us to become obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.